Favorite country?
Guatemala.
Best food? Country with the best food?
Japan.
Worst food?
I guess, I hate to say it, maybe like Sudan. Nothing but beans down there.
Most attractive females?
Sweden.
Most attractive males?
Sweden.
Most friendly?
Maybe Canadians, huh?
And then the final one, the most important one, is if you had the opportunity to go to Jurassic Park or space, where would you go?
Jurassic Park, yeah.
Excellent, good man. Always worried when people say space. No dinosaurs in space, there's nothing.
Basically, the whole thing kind of started because I had Interpol chasing me. So I got to the border of Bulgaria and Turkey. And
can I ask why you had Interpol chasing you?
Oh, right. Somebody thought I was selling drugs in Scotland, which couldn't have been farther from the truth. But they said I was selling mushrooms or something, and so... a 16-year-old American kid must be up to no good, so I don't know what happened, but somehow Interpol was chasing me.
That's mental.
Yeah. So I got to the border, and the border guards, they swiped the passport, my passport, through their portable electronic, checkers, and they said, please come with us, and there were like three or four big Bulgarian guys, and there was no getting out of it. So they took me to the holding center, and it was at the border, like right at the border. I could see the cars going through into Turkey. And long story short, I convinced the guard, who was about 22, to let me out of the cell so I could go outside for a cigarette. And so I got outside. I had about, I don't know, maybe 10 cigarettes because I was trying to work up the courage to do this. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, something came over me and I was ready to do it, and I flicked the cigarette down on the ground, and I turned towards the guy and I said, now I'm going to run away. And, he didn't know I was saying, but I just felt like I should say something or give him some kind of warning. I don't know why I did that. But then I looked towards the car crossing, and I knew I wasn't going to make it because there were all these cars going through and all these cops standing there. And I looked towards this huge fence, maybe, I don't know, 8 meters high or so. And I knew I had to go for the fence because, over the fence, there was nothing but dense jungle. And I thought if I could just make it over that fence, then I could be clear out and, and get away and escape. So I started walking away, and the guy says something in Bulgarian, and I, in my head, it translated, hey, what are you doing? Come back, I didn't listen to him. I just started sprinting as fast as I could towards this green fence, this 8 meter high green fence. And there was so much adrenaline surging through my veins that right when I was 5 feet away, maybe I leaped up and I jumped and I maybe cleared like 2 or 3 meters right then. And then with one more huge leap, I nearly got over the top of it. And I pulled myself to the very top of the fence and I flipped my body up and over it. And I just let myself fall all the way down and landed in really thick, thorny jungle. By this time, all the cops were out. The one cop yelled at his colleagues. They all came outside, and I looked back, and the siren started going off and stuff. And I saw all these cops with their guns drawn. And for a minute, I thought, Jesus, I better turn around. This is serious now.
Yeah.
And I seriously thought, this was going to be it. I turned around and right as I turned around, I was gonna like almost jokingly be like I put my hand up to like say, stop, don't shoot. But then right as I did it, I somehow managed to push through the thorns and just slipped through just right in time. And as I did that, then I heard the loudest shot go off. It was so loud. Maybe they were 10 meters away from me. And I fell to the ground and I fell to my knees and I checked my body because I was so stunned. It was so loud, the gunshot. And and I touched myself, and I was just panting, like, totally out of breath. And it must have been, it felt like a minute, but it must have been just a few seconds. And I picked myself up, and the jungle started to clear up the more I went through it. And I just started running and running and running.
What was going on? What was going through your head at the time? Were you like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God?
It's bizarre. Yeah, it's hard to explain it because there's, I don't know, there's so much energy. There's like, it's so fast, you know, that you just, I was just thinking, I got to get away. I got to get away from, I got to survive.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And how long were Interpol chasing you?
Well, I guess...
How do you find out if Interpol are after you?
Well, when I was in Scotland, I made friends with all the local kids, right? Because I was sleeping outside in a field, and then one kid named Colin took me in, and I stayed with his family for a little bit, and then I ended up staying at another guy's house named... they told me like a couple of days or a couple of hours before, they said Interpol is looking for you. You better get out of here. Like, cause it's a small town. Like, I guess some of the kids, their parents were in the police force. And so, they all, like, one kid gave me a skateboard. The other one said, I'll drive you to the train station. Another family gave me all this food and stuff. And they said, get out of here. You know, they're trying to find. And I don't know why they're helping me, but yeah, so I guess that's how I found out, yeah.
And then, but how does, how was it cleared up? Like, are Interpol still after you? Are Bulgarian police after you?
Yeah, I was worried, actually. Like, a couple of years ago, I went back to Bulgaria, and I was really worried going through the land border there. I think what happened was because I was underage, I'm not sure that they didn't like keep it in the system, or I think my parents probably called and like asked the police to like look for a missing person.
And then
it got escalated because I don't think they cared too much about missing people, you know, but then I think it escalated when they thought that I was selling drugs or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah. So I guess, you know, the whole time I was in Europe, it felt like I was, just, it was probably a lot of it was probably paranoia, but I felt like I couldn't go anywhere. All the police were out for me, you know.
Jesus, that sounds so intense. It's not really paranoia when they are actually after you, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That is mental. And so I'd love that you then went back to Bulgaria being like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, I was curious. And I love Bulgaria because it's one of the cheapest countries. And they have one of the best kind of nude beaches with the prettiest girls I've ever seen on it.
So it was worth getting locked up in case.
Yeah, it was worth the risk, worth the chance. And fortunately, they didn't stop me. So
you, from reading the blog as well, you are one of the, something that I've always not wanted to experience. Wanted is the wrong word, but something that I'm always curious what it would be like to be involved in an earthquake. Can you talk to us about the Tohoku earthquake in Japan?
Yeah. So I was studying in Japan. I was about 6 months into a master's degree at the United Nations University. And I was living in a building that was, it was 14 stories high, and I was on the nearly the top floor. But it was this very, very narrow building. So I'd always thought, like, God, I hope an earthquake doesn't happen because this building doesn't look like the best kind of, you know, structural integrity. But so I was upstairs. It was like 2 o'clock. It was Sunday. Didn't have any school. And all of a sudden, you know, it just started shaking. Like, I can't even describe. Like, it started up so fast. Like, usually, you know, I've been in earthquakes in California, and they start. And they like start up, they're pretty mellow to begin with, and then like it'll pick up and then go down again. And I was like, that's, you know, that was always, it was always fun as a kid in California to like feel that shaking. But then this was a totally different thing. It's just like an explosion, like the earth just exploded and shaking so violently back and forth that you couldn't even stand up.
Really?
I got up to try and run away and I couldn't, so I I fell kind of towards my knees and towards the bed, and just landed on my bed, and I don't know what happened, but it was like all those Sunday school, it all, kicked in or something, all came back to me. And I'm not religious at all, but I didn't know what else to do. And so I got on my knees and I just started praying. And I said, please, God, look, I don't want to die. I don't want to die right now.
Really? That's interesting that you're not religious, but that was sort of your go-to move.
I guess, it's something comforting about it. And I didn't think I would ever do that, but
How hectic is the shaking?
It's enough to where,
enough for you to fall over, I guess.
Yeah, everything's just fell down off of everything. And the bathroom, I heard the water coming up through the pipe and just water spraying all through the bathroom and the kitchen sink, too. And this big, heavy glass sliding door up to the balcony was just smashing in back and forth. Boom, boom, boom. And the building adjacent, right perpendicular to my building, you could see it was the same kind of building, and the sway, it was swaying, maybe 10 degrees back and forth. I couldn't believe it. I thought, and I knew that was happening in my building too, because I could feel it. And I just thought, this building is going to break down.
How long did it last?
It lasted, I think about 1 minute in total. But the most violent part was about 30 seconds.
God, that was... And, afterwards, are you just like, what the f... That just happened.
When the shaking subsided enough that I could stand and then regain my balance, I ran out the door and just sprinted down the steps, jumping half a flight of stairs at a time. Just grabbing the railing with one hand and just kind of pivoting around each turn. And went down 11 flights of stairs and got out of the building and just ran to the biggest open field I could find away from everything. And then I just laid on the ground. And maybe for 5 minutes after that, you could just feel this mild shaking that kept going back and forth. And I was starting to get relaxed until everyone started saying, go back in the buildings. The tsunami is coming. But fortunately, this tsunami never came to Tokyo.
Jesus. That sounds so, so intense.
So intense. And the oddest thing was, too, that it's kind of Japanese mentality to not show the fear, And so everybody, all the Japanese employees that had shuffled out of their buildings, single file, so calmly, they were all standing outside and laughing. They're giggling and laughing and laughing. And I know, I understand why, but it was just something that intense. It was just a little eerie seeing all that laughter.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Hi, my name is Leif from runawayguide.com, and my travel confession is I once woke up in a big pile of poop. Actually, multiple poops. South of France, a big construction barrel. I was a little bit drunk. And I decided to sleep in this conical construction barrel thing. Little did I know that the construction workers had been using it as a toilet. And when I awoke, I found myself completely covered in French poop.
It's disgusting. What did you do when you woke up? Were you like, crap?
It was really bad. Because there were some French kids right nearby who were camping. And they looked at me and they saw the poop on me and they just started laughing and ran into the ocean and just tried to clean myself off as best I could. It's cliche, but there's no better kind of education or means to build confidence than going traveling and just when you're forced to have so many interactions and adapt to so many different situations, and you just grow tremendously and you just become a happier and more confident person, both while you're traveling and when you get back home.